Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At what point is it reasonable and legitimate to become frustrated with God? How long do we have to wait for God to answer our prayers, to come to our aid, to help us, before we can gripe a little bit about Him not being there? When we went through our most recent ice storm here in Austin, as you know, many folks lost their electricity. And I think probably most of us who were affected by the power outages were, you know, somewhat understanding for the first few hours. But as the hours turned into days, and for some folks, the days turned into a week, patience began to wear thin and frustrations mounted. And with those frustrations came grumbling toward the power company executives, toward our elected officials, even toward the linemen who were out there working around the clock to get the lines back up and restore the power. And while any or all of these people may not have been to blame, at what point does it seem legitimate to blame at least some of these folks? After 3 hours, 9 hours, 24 hours, 2 days, 5 days, what? And so it is with the children of Israel as they traveled from the desert of sin. What an appropriate name. From the desert of sin to a place on the Sinai Peninsula called Rephidim, a place that the Lord had directed them to go to. But there was no water for them there at Rephidim. No lake, no stream, no well that they could drink from. What were they to do? They needed water. Their livestock needed water. How long could they last without water? Why would God lead them to a place with no water? They had water back in Egypt. Weren't they better serving as slaves back in Egypt than dying of thirst in the desert? All of which seems, at least to me, like fairly legitimate, reasonable questions and concerns. So they quarreled with Moses, and they grumbled against God. I'm sure I have questioned and doubted and been frustrated with God over a lot less. My guess is that you have too. Going without power for a couple of days was bad enough. Imagine trying to go without water for a couple of days. And I don't mean water that's not coming out of your faucet. I mean no water at all. And in the desert, no less. And all this took place prior to their reception of the Ten Commandments. So they really hadn't been given any command from God that they were to trust in Him. But I guess trusting Him kind of follows from looking to Him as their God, doesn't it? He was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of their fathers. And so he was their God too, which he proved to them. He sent the plagues, which served as the impetus for Pharaoh to release them from their bonds of slavery in Egypt. He sent the pillars of fire and cloud to lead them on their journey from Egypt. And he opened up the waters of the Red Sea and then closed them again to save them from the armies of Egypt. He provided clean water for them to drink at Marah, and then provided them with quail and manna to eat in the desert of Sin. Each and every time that they had a need, God provided for that need, in spite of the people's grumbling and distrust. And thus, while the Israelites may have been justified in being frustrated with God for leading them to a desert location with no water to drink, they were not justified in grumbling against God, nor for distrusting Him. For He had proven His faithfulness to them time and time again. And so too with us. It's understandable how we might get frustrated with God when He's slow to answer our cries for help, slow to bring us any kind of relief or provide us with any legitimate rescue. It's understandable. But it still doesn't make it right. Job learned that the hard way when he questioned and doubted God. But God showed Job in no uncertain terms that His ways are not our ways. In fact, His ways are unfathomable to us. And that they are as high above us as are the heavens above the earth. David, too, was no stranger to questioning or doubting God's active participation in his life. When he was threatened by serious illness or the pursuit of his enemies, David cried out to God with these words, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? But the difference between the Israelites in the desert and David in this psalm, the difference is one of trust. You see, regardless of what God had done for them in their past, the Israelites did not trust in God to do and to help them in their future. But David, despite his frustration and his confusion, never stopped trusting in God to deliver him. Listen to what David said a little bit farther on in this same psalm, Psalm 13. Just a few short verses after questioning God's presence in his life. He says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. No matter what crisis you're going through, No matter how silent or absent God appears to be, no matter how justified you feel in being frustrated with God, don't give up on Him. Don't turn your back on Him, because He has not and He will not turn His back on you. Trust in His unfailing love for you, which He demonstrated through the sacrificial suffering and death of His Son Jesus on the cross, and by His powerful resurrection from the grave, through whom you and I have been forgiven of our sins and have already been promised a place with God in heaven, and it has been prepared for us by Jesus. Though the trials and hardships of your life may cause you to doubt God's love for you, or doubt His presence with you, the cross and the empty grave are a constant reminder to us and for us, and a witness to us and for us, that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us, and that God will always be faithful to Jesus' final words in His great commission. Remember the words of Jesus: "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." May we trust this always, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.